Tonight on Impact Wrestling, the Hardys versus Team 3D versus the Wolves. Fallout from Six Sides of Steel. Sonata versus Austin Aries. Madison Rain versus Taryn Terrell. Six-man X Division action. And the debut of the American war hero Chris Melendez. But that's pre-recorded on Spike TV. And this, my friends, is the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. And we're live on Rant EM Radio.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
That's the ECW
tonight,
belt.
Before God and my father as witness, I declare myself, the franchise, as the new ECW heavyweight champion of the world.
Shane Douglas declaring himself
we have set out
ECW
to change
world
the
champion
of professional wrestling. So tonight, let the new era begin. The era of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
We'll be right back.
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and assorted lowlifes, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live on Rant EM Radio, we are a Shining Wizards Network production, and Mega Powers cannot be reached via Skype. I think he did a Skype update, and I couldn't get to him, so let's try this again, shall we? Hello? Oh, look at that. There you are. I tried reaching you during the intro. I was like, because I played something in between. I forgot there was an anniversary today, and thank goodness I caught it before we went on the air. Today is the 20th anniversary of the birth of Extreme Championship Wrestling. Yeah, this is the night that Shane Douglas won the NWA Championship, and he threw it down. Yeah, pretty much, and that's what I played in between our intro. September 20th in Monroe, New Jersey. Mega Powers and myself will be with the Shining Wizards and Hall of Famer Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Well, Macho Man's dead, so we... Let's sleep in dogs lie, Mega Powers. What's going on? Yeah, let's sleep in Slim Jim's lie. How you feeling, man? Well, finally, after 2 weeks of being pre-recorded / half live, we're finally live. That's right. Welcome, everybody, in the chat room. Welcome, everybody, on the download. When you download this, I want to thank everybody for their feedback on the last couple of weeks. We got some new fans on the page, new fans on Twitter. It's been really cool. A couple of new T-shirt sales. I'm an urban kid, so I guess, I mean, that's old hat to me, you know, so I'm not, obviously. So how do you feel about competing with Impact Wrestling now, Dave? Well, it's pre-recorded tonight. Tonight they are, yeah. It's all the oh, we'll get into all that in a few minutes. I just wanted to see how you felt about it, because I made a little thing about it in the beginning. Oh, all right. Well, I have some TNA news, so I just wanted to get your initial thoughts on us going against Impact. Good. That's what I wanted to hear. All right. So we have a lot of stuff to get into tonight. We have a pretty quirky throwback. Everybody's been asking what's going on. And yeah, man. Yeah. The chat room's saying they can't hear you, but you can hear me, right? Oh, boy. Oh, Jesus. I don't know what's going on with this thing. I don't know what's going on with your Skype. I don't know why you guys can't hear Mega Powers. It should be. I can hear you perfectly. I guess the chat room can't hear you, and I don't know why. Everything is, good to go. I don't know what the issue is. Maybe if I turn up the volume a little bit on this, maybe? All right, how about that? I don't know. Try now. Can you? I don't know. Yeah, they can hear me, but not you, which doesn't make any sense. The levels are fine on my end. I'm peaking right by the yellow where I should be. So, I apologize for that. I don't know what the issue is. Maybe it's the chat room. No, but not both in studio, Tank. Mega Powers is on Skype, but you guys should be hearing it. Yeah, you guys should be hearing him. All right, well, You know what I'll do on the break? I'll log you out and log back in and see how that works. Yeah, do that. So Dave's gonna log out for a second. All right, so I'll log Dave out, and then I'm gonna sign out of Skype. See how that works. Because all my levels should be okay. I mean, we have everything's good to go on my end. I don't understand the issue here. So let me get back into Skype, and I'll log back in. That sucks if you guys can't hear the Mega Powers. That's not cool. It's not cool in the gang. I'm going to reopen Skype. Do-do-do. Technology eats a dick. Let's try now. All right. And I'm connecting. Do-do-do. I'll let Dave call me. How about that? And then we'll call it a day. Anyway, so we got some news to get into. And some couple of issues before we get into our throwback. And I got 7 people in the chat room. Hello to everybody in the chat room again. Whoever I didn't say hello to when you guys first came in. I don't know what the hell's going on, man. Let's try calling Mega Powers again. Yeah, that was SummerSlam Sunday. That we were both in studio.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
It's currently unavailable. Hello. Okay. Well, I mean, the levels came up. So, anyway. So, I guess, I wanted to talk about these things with Dave. But I guess I could talk about the one thing without Dave. And I'll get into that in a second. So, we've had... And I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but the last couple of weeks has been some hot-button topics that are non-wrestling related that are just, I don't want to say too racy, but, like, if you bring them up in conversation with a mixed crowd, I think maybe, let's see. Join this call. All right. Yo, Mega Powers, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Let's see how that works. All right.
Okay.
Okay, so I was just about to bring up the non-Facebook topics on our Facebook page. Some of the topics that are hot button that are not wrestling related may offend some people that are sitting behind their computer and not getting the text or the point across the person trying to put. And Dave and I had to put a couple of people not on blast, but ask them, hey, don't do that because we want to keep the page as wrestling-related as possible because it's my only escape to everything else that I hate in life. Now, a lot of you guys are personal friends on Facebook, and that's because you guys are awesome, first of all, or second of all, you've known us before the show or after the show. And then more importantly, we have a connection to a lot of you guys, and we love you guys to death, and you guys are the pulse of why we do this every week for you guys, so...
The heartbeat of America.
True that. Well, heartbeat of the world, man. We got people in Canada. We got people in Europe.
Canada.
Yeah, my cousin used to call it Canada. But yeah, listen, man. I mean, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, like I said. Just do me a favor. Try to keep anything non-wrestling related off the page because it's been like, even on my personal page, people bring those same topics up. And people, it's too PC now. People get too anal retentive. People get too pissy and moany, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous, and you know, it's really hard to explain yourself when you're not in person or behind a computer, and they don't get your tone, they don't get your attitude, they don't get how you're bringing your point across. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's, you know, black and white is in black and white, you know?
Yeah, it's always shades of gray.
That I say that piss people off all the time.
Yeah, it's always like, it's always...
Oh, Christ, now the fucking ad is popping up. Sorry about this.
Wow. Technical difficulties, please stand by.
Yeah, man, this is a night of a... Anyway, as I was trying to say before Party Poker's ad popped up on my fucking page.
Party Poker.
You know, when shit's in black and white, you know, people are going to take it however the hell they want to take it. It's like, you know, if they're in a pissy mood, they're going to get pissed. If they're in a good mood, they're going to party down.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is, you know. As far as the show and the show's page goes, you know, it's a wrestling page.
Right, yeah. And I don't, again, it wasn't just me telling somebody. It was Dave. Dave did it. I did it once or twice. So it's not like, and again, these things aren't bad, but I just don't want them on our page because a lot of people see that and they're like, I want to keep.
Plus, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just about, you know, we're just trying to avoid people posting random shit on there.
Yeah, just to keep it fresh and keep, and you guys post a lot of good shit on the page.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right.
Plus, when I go to a wrestling page, I want to see wrestling.
It's true. It's true. And then the AOS challenge thing, Dave donated. He posted his donation. I did not donate yet. I'm still waiting for my other donations to clear for the month because everything comes out of my checking account. So I will donate.
Donating machine.
Yeah, I'm not donating. I'm not dumping fucking water on my head. And I explained myself on social media. I'm not going to. And here's the thing. It's become it's become a one-up kind of thing. People aren't just dumping water on their head for their awareness. Now, I got to be honest with you. Some of these things are cool. Like, they have the little kid, their sons and daughters do it, and kids doing it. I think that's awesome. And anytime anybody pauses for a cause, I'm all about it. But what put me over the edge was, like, 3 days ago, on my news feed, there was a guy who works for some kind of company and put 40,000 gallons of water in a cement truck and dumped it on him. Now, and then one of my wife's friends was like, oh, you know, people who were complaining about the AOS challenge, you know, you waste water and you waste this and you waste ice and you waste. No, I don't waste. I pay for everything I waste so I can give a rat's ass about anything you people say. If I want to fucking run my water in my sink for 7 hours right now, I'll do it. You know why? Because I'm paying for it. You know? Be Real from Cypress Hill, he didn't dump water. He dumped weed on his head. That was awesome. Charlie Sheen dumped money on his head. That was awesome.
And to keep it wrestling-related, Vince McMahon dumped water on his head.
Right, because he was called out by Kermit the Frog, dude.
Well, he called out Kermit.
I don't know what the fuck. I could care less. At this point, it's becoming it's becoming a competition. Now, the guy who dumped 40,000 gallons of water, A, that's a waste because he ain't paying for that. And B, if that was legit ice water, 40,000 gallons, you'd be hypothermic. So he didn't dump ice water on himself. He dumped cold water, which, I mean, if you dumped ice water for 40,000 gallons at that rate, you'd be in hypothermic shock. So no, I'm not dumping fucking water on my head. Eat a bag of dicks. I'll donate the money and call it a day.
And back to wrestling.
Back to wrestling. Well, speaking of donate, I want to thank AA, and I want to thank the from the rant, and I want to thank that's our boss for this network, and I want to thank our buddies from the NXT cast. They've been plugging this website too. Our buddy Matt, you guys all know Matt. He's in the chat room right now.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Right. So Matt is going through a rough time right now where he's from, and something so silly that it just takes people take for granted. Their stance and how they live their lives and their livelihood, because you have these good jobs with good medical benefits and like stuff that people take for granted, Matt can't. Matt's got, you know, this Crohn's disease thing going on, and it's really messed up, and the medication for him is where he lives is catastrophic. Like, he has to pay an exorbitant amount of money for it, or I can go down a block and get the same fucking treatment for $10 under my medic.
Right. Even Jericho mentioned how, you know, healthcare isn't all as cracked up to be in Canada.
Right, so when Matt sent me the initial message and he made the page, we got into a discussion, and I said to him, and I was misled. I'm like, dude, isn't healthcare, and I wasn't being facetious. I'm like, isn't healthcare free in Canada? And he goes, well, yeah, but the meds aren't. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's like going to a 7-Eleven. Like I did today, I took Mikey to 7-Eleven. It was like 107 degrees outside. And we bought big Slurpees. And that's like us buying a Slurpee. And, oh, no, the Slurpees are free, sir, but you have to buy the straw. I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, that makes no sense. Again, I don't live in Canada. I don't want to go into politics, but this is wrestling related because this is Matt. Matt's our buddy. Matt's a fan of the show.
He's created a bunch of our shirts.
Yeah, and Matt helps us. I was just about to get to that. Matt helps us behind the scenes, and he's going to continue to help us behind the scenes because we have a lot of good shit going on. And the next item that Dave and I are going to be selling, all the proceeds going to Matt. We'll keep you guys updated on that. It's coming out in the next, I guess, maybe 2-3 months, depending on how quick Dave does his thing and how quickly I get it all printed out. So go to www.gofundme.com/COTFT. Matt's put it on his page, and Nixon from NXT Cast and The Rant, and I'm sure the Wizards will do it. If you guys can just share the link, if you guys can give a couple of bucks, it doesn't have to be an exorbitant amount. You don't have to dump any water on your head. You don't have to fucking do any cartwheels. You don't have to do anything out of the ordinary or film yourself doing it. You're helping us, and you're helping Matt because Matt's a good dude. So that's the bottom line.
You just got to put your money where your mouth is.
Right. So you don't have to, you know, do anything retarded on fucking film. So go to GoFundMe.com/COTFT. And that is our serious portion of the show tonight. So,
though I did appreciate Maurice's ALS video.
Well, yeah, because she did it in slow motion and she had no bra on under there. So
she had a bikini top on, but
it was so chic that I think that it went right through. It was just
you need to adjust the tint on your computer screen or something.
Yeah, dude, whatever. You know what? Again, I'll pause for a cause. And Dave, you've been here. You've seen the stuff that my wife's been doing. You've seen all the stuff that we've been doing as a family with raising money for different causes and awareness. So it's not like I'm not a charitable dude. I just don't have to fucking – I'm not going to kill myself or give myself hypothermia because people want to see me dump water on my head. But you want to pause for a cause. I mean, my family did it. My nieces, my nephews, my cousins, they all did it. My uncle did it. I applaud you guys. I love you guys to death. I'm glad. So – continue to support ALS. Continue to support all of your causes, and hopefully we can find a cure for some of these things, and hopefully we can help Matt out at the same time.
And stay true to the crew.
Stay true to the crew and keep it real up in the field. Aight? Okay. We got some news, Mega Powers. We got some news to get into.
There's a lot of news going on.
There is a lot of news. I want to talk about Billy Graham first.
He's got 2 years to live.
Yeah, he got 2 years to live.
According to him.
Right, and he blames Abdullah the Butcher.
Which I don't understand because he had his liver transplanted several years back with like around the time that he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think that was like what, 2004 maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
And you know, he was one of the lucky few who was able to get a fucking organ transplant of his liver.
Right.
And but I guess these transplants or whatever, just they don't last that long. So dude doesn't have too long to live. I don't know. I don't understand where the whole Abdullah the Butcher thing was coming into play.
Well, I think because didn't he lose that? Didn't the guy who claims he caught Hep C from Abdullah, didn't he win his court case a couple of months ago?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so maybe that's, you know, see, and we spoke about this too, that some of these old wrestlers are like bipolar. You know, like they'll do 4,000 shoot interviews. They hate you. They love you. They hate you. They love you. It depends on what side of the fence that you're on.
Yeah.
And
if they're getting a gig out of it or not.
Get a gig or some kind of payday from the E. You know, that's the bottom line.
Because I saw like the last house show that I went to for WWE. It was a while back. I think it was around WrestleMania 21 time, and he was at the Garden doing, you know, promo with the coach. He was in good spirits then. He wasn't talking trash, but, you know, as soon as he's gone away and he's not getting a paycheck, it's a different story.
Right.
But then again, you know, I don't know what this guy's going through. I don't know what happened to him to really cause this, because, you know, it was talked about in great depth in his WWE DVD that was put out several years ago. Guy was heavy into drugs, heavy into depression. So who knows what's going on with superstar Billy Graham and, you know, why he does what he does.
Billy Graham, and I quote, the fucking worthless subhuman piece of shit Abdullah. He never bladed me, but as you know, he gave Hannibal Hep C, which almost killed him and is going to kill me. Deliver docs have recently told me I have about 2 years left, then my liver fails and I take my final bump. So fuck Abdullah, and I hope he dies a miserable death.
What does that have anything to do with Abdullah?
I don't know, but you see how bipolar this guy is?
There's this great video. We got to turn it into like a sound clip for a future episode. But there was like a shoot interview he did where he's talking trash about Chris Jericho, and he said how he wanted to drag his skull across the floor of hell.
Please.
And it's like, because something Jericho said about him in one of his books, and it wasn't, I don't think it was even that serious, and Billy Graham just took it straight to the depths of hell.
I'm so done chasing these guys for interviews and listening to their crap. I'm just, you know, they're so bipolar and they're so bitter.
Hey, I would love to have Billy Graham go off our show.
Yeah, but you know what, though? For what? So next week he can go on somebody else's show and say he loves whoever he just dogged on our show? Like, I thought about that, too. I'm like, God, I love Billy Graham. I loved his promos as a kid. But, like, to have him on the show and then next week go on The Shining Wizards or somebody else's show and, like, say, oh, no, I didn't say that. I love that guy. Like Marcus Bagwell did 2 years ago.
Bagwell's a special case.
Yeah, he's definitely special. All right, let's get into some other news here. Former diva Stacey Keibler revealed last Friday that she and her husband Jared Parbury welcomed their daughter to the world. Baby's name is Ava Grace.
Wasn't she with Clooney not too long ago?
Yeah, they broke. As soon as they broke up, she got engaged like almost instantaneously.
I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me.
She got knocked up. Whatever, dude. She was all legs, man. She was beautiful, that girl.
That's all she really was legs. There was no boobs.
Yeah, didn't Kid Rock do a song about her on one of the one of those WWF DVD, CDs back in the day? He did a cover of ZZ Top Slayer. I think I have it. You know what?
I have no idea. I actually saw Kid Rock live, not by choice. He does a great live show, but I'm not into the music.
Yeah, hold on a second. I don't think I have it.
Phil looking through his
I have like
CD collection.
No, I have the I have like the collection of the music there. I have like a folder of all the WWF music. I just have to pull it up. There it is, WWF Complete Collection.
The only song about legs that matters is ZZ Top's Legs.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to. I was, because you brought her up, and
I met Billy Gibbons.
Did you?
He's a cool guy.
Did you?
Yeah. Nice. I have a photo with him.
I'm sure you do. Where is it? Is this Man, I thought, yeah, it's on one of these fucking CDs, but yeah, Kid Rock does a version of it. It's really, it's not terrible. I mean, and Kid Rock's like, I'm showing my age now, because Kid Rock is like he does these car commercials.
Oh, God.
And it's fucking, like, not hear him, but the song, you know, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, oh, no, it's like, it sounds country.
Well, he was delving into the country stuff, but
there it is. Hold on a second. Let's play this for a second.
Oh, God.
It's not terrible.
It sounds like a WCW Slam Jam song.
Yeah.
ZZ Top song.
Yeah. He just put some like hip hop beats to it and guitar riffs. The breakdown is fresh though.
Wondering how to feel them. Would you give me
She's my baby.
It's all right.
It's not bad. Not bad.
I like it better when ZZ Top did it.
Of course, ZZ Top's are the kings. Matter of fact, he just came off their tour. Dusty hurt himself. He fell on the tour bus. So, but Billy Gibbons is the shit, dude. Billy Gibbons is the shit. You know that was Jimi Hendrix's favorite guitar player, right?
Really?
So, yeah, man. Billy Gibbons is no joke. Loves ZZ Top.
I know because I met him.
You're a lucky man. Anyway, so that's ZZ Top. And now it's, well, it's Kid Rock doing legs, but I thought it was like it was cool, you know. It was Kid Rock's version of it. When I first saw the CD and I opened it, when I was like, oh man, this is gonna be bad, because not a lot of people cover fucking ZZ Top, you know.
You know, one of my favorite songs is "Planet of Women."
Planet of Women is awesome. I love Tush. Oh man, their early their earlier stuff is good, man. You got to get their earlier stuff, like their jazz, like it's like that jazzy fucking. It's so good, man. The older stuff is really good. All right. Oh boy. All right. Daniel Bryan may need Tommy John surgery. It will be out maybe another 3 months. Do you know what Tommy John surgery is, Dave?
No.
All right. It's a graft procedure in which the ulnar collateral ligament in your elbow, in the medial part of your elbow, is replaced with another tendon from somewhere else in your body. It's very common in collegiate and pro pitchers when they blow their arm out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Daniel Bryan apparently may need Tommy John surgery. Now, if he was pitching, he'd be out for a year, but he's not.
So it's wrestling.
Right, so he'll need about 3 months to heal if he needs it.
Yeah.
All right, so we talked about TNA at the top of the show. My little joke there, how now we're competing with Impact. According to WrestlingInc.com and AA reported last night, Discovery Network's Velocity, the Velocity channel, has offered TNA a time slot. But Velocity is only offered in 48 million homes, and it's only available in HD. Now, here's the thing, though. Spike extended the contract until the end of the year. It was originally due up in October.
Only until the end of the year?
Yeah. Yeah. And they moved, ironically, to Wednesdays because SmackDown's going back to Thursdays. You know.
Yeah, that's a smart idea.
Right.
Because TNA can't compete.
The biggest issue with the deal that it would be rights-free, which is less than a quarter of what TNA is currently getting from Spike. The deal may not be worth it if TNA can't find an additional revenue stream. TNA officials are relieved that they have another suitor, but they are disappointed in the offer that has been made. They have also hoped that this will lead to other potential partners contacting them soon. I just mentioned TNA extending their deal with Spike until the year's end. So, I did enjoy Velvet Sky's ALS challenge, and I'm bringing up Velvet Sky because her and Billy Ray are seeing each other in real life.
Billy Ray.
I hate Bully Ray. I hate fucking Bully Ray. I call him Bubba. He was on Jim Ross's podcast the other day, and I downloaded that episode, and it was very insightful. I just, you know, here's a guy, 45 years old, one of the best tag teams ever, loses 80 pounds and revamps himself, and like, I don't know, you know, so him. Him and Velvet are pretty much, they're seeing each other in real life, and they're done with TNA. It wasn't confirmed on Velvet's end, but she changed her Twitter handle, and Bully Ray had said goodbye in the locker room at a house show over the weekend.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
Just like the whole Newt song.
She's gone. All right. You know, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. She's gone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not joining you on that.
I know. I was hoping you would, you motherfucker. Anyway. Do you have any other news before we get into Facebook questions?
Well, there was Jarrett, you know, branching out to, what is it, like Australia and all these other countries Global Force. And, you know, I threw in my 2 cents over on Shining Wizards Eddie's little feed about it. And I don't know. It just sounds like it. It sounds kind of smart, but to be quite honest, you know, I remember when TNA was, you know, trying to, you know, get on their feet and not just do the, you know, where were they primarily located? At the friggin' Universal Studios lot, the whatever it's called. I don't care.
Before that, it was the Asylum in Nashville.
Yeah, the Asylum in Nashville. But when they started going to Universal Studios, that's when they started trying. They weren't doing house shows, but they were jumping onto other people's shows and having their matches. Like, I know that there were some NWA world title changes, like, in Canada for BCW. But what the fuck is BCW? Who, you know, it's an indie in Canada. Why is there a TNA NWA World Championship match on their show? Why isn't there a TNA house show with this match going on? So I kind of feel like, regardless of what Jarrett's getting in, you know, financially from Toby Keith or whoever, you know, I don't know the full story. This is just me giving me, like, you know, my half-assed reasoning from what little information I know. But it just seems like he's just kind of, like, jumping around to other feds and just kind of piggybacking off of whatever they're doing. Same thing with New Japan. New Japan, that's not a bad deal because, you know, it's just going to bring attention over to them in Japan, which, you know, now that I think about it, it's that's even kind of like a hard sell because it's not like, you know, when TNA was piggybacking off of New Japan, it's not like TNA was doing shows in Japan. They were just having matches in New Japan. Same thing with Wrestle One now. And it's kind of like, well, what is this all really leading up to? Is this bringing in more money for them or what? You know, TNA can do house shows in the UK. But if they're going to penetrate markets like Australia or Japan, they got to be able to do their own show. Like, I can understand the talent exchanges and such, but, you know, having Japanese guys come over to the U.S. doesn't do much because, you know, unless you're a hardcore fan and you're going out of your way to figure out who some of these guys are. But if you're like a typical wrestling fan, then you probably don't give two shits and you're not going to go out of your way to go on YouTube to even look up who these guys are or what their background is. But I don't know. In the Australian organization, I'm not going out of my way to look out for Australian feds. I could be wrong. You know, there may be some like pretty cool scene that's going out there. You know, I know the stuff in India and South Africa is interesting because it's like really like gimmicky as hell, like the 80s. But is this really what Jarrett needs to be focusing on? That's my question.
Yeah, you know what? And I have an answer for your question, and I'm glad you finished it with that. Finished your thought with that. I don't know if Jarrett is gonna get anything in terms of a TV deal, because that's where my head is at. Like, where, why would you go out of your way and get and try to start, you know, roping up all this talent from all over the globe, but you haven't even been on TV yet?
Yeah,
you haven't even recorded an episode yet. Now, I know, again,
and they may not do anything until next year,
right? And Jarrett is a name in wrestling. His dad was an awesome promoter.
He is a name, but he's not like an A-list name.
He's not, but you know what though? At the time in Memphis, that was a hot territory, and Jerry Jarrett was instrumental in getting a lot of that stuff behind the scenes. He got the TV for them and did a whole bunch of stuff for them. So,
yeah, but a lot of like casual fans don't like know or care.
Well, that's why we're here, Dave. We're the
That's why we are here. But
that's right. You know, so like, I think it's. But that's
I don't think it's going to translate well because there's a lot of guys like even Sting, who, you know, when they talk about their TNA career,
who, Dave?
They mention how. Go for it.
Consideration. Oh no!
Wrong one.
Hold on a minute. I had the volume down, so I thought you threw me off.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
But you know, when Sting talks about like his TNA career, and a lot of guys talk about their TNA career, they constantly bring up how fans say, like, oh, where have you been all those years?
Right, but I, again, the Jarrett name is something. So it's not like a thing where – and Jeff Jarrett –
it's something, but it's for me, it's not enough.
No, I've – yeah.
Even being a hardcore wrestling fan,
yeah,
you know?
To most hardcore fans, it's not enough. But if Jeff Jarrett goes to South Africa and says, hey, man, I'm starting here this wrestling promotion, and y'all can jump on and send me three of your best guys, and I'll put them on TV once a week. You don't think these guys be like, okay, no problem. And I'm not saying they're gullible, but as a business standpoint, if Jarrett's going to swap talent with them, let's say he has guys like, you know, AJ Styles, or he's got you know, the Bullet Club and all those cats. Like, you don't mean to tell me, hey, listen, guys, on your way back to Japan, stop over in South Africa and fight their champion. You know, it's not like the power Udi.
It may generate some money over there, but how is it going to generate money over in the U.S. where the company's located?
Well, that was my point.
Yeah.
As a marketing standpoint, I wouldn't do any of this shit until I'd go on television.
Like, even if I had billions of dollars, I would not invest in wrestling in any way, shape, or form. Not even in – maybe like an indie just for fun.
If I
was like willing to say like, hey, I'm willing to put enough money in to willingly know that I'm probably going to break even and that's it. I'm not going to make any money out of this.
Yeah, you're not. Dave's not one of these money marks that because he's a, you know, Dave's actually a respected fan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And throughout our peers. So again, if we want to throw money at a wrestling promotion because we love the sport. We're not just want to.
You're not going to make money in wrestling,
right? It there's no money in it.
If you love wrestling, you should know that it is not popular in any way, shape, or form unless it's WWE. In America, at least.
America.
And you're probably in America, but you're probably not going to make much money. And you know, I don't know. I know if you listen to 3.5 Wrestlers, you know, you'll probably get a better insight on, you know, where money's going and, you know, how these guys set up the shows.
Where money's going on their end.
Where money's going on their end. We don't know every single
It doesn't run the same way in every promotion. And those guys,
yeah, it's always going to be different.
And those guys are hot for two reasons. A, because of their location. Three reasons. B, because they have decent talent, homegrown decent talent.
They have great homegrown talent, and they
– And then C, more importantly, they bring in all the legends and stuff like that.
Yeah, because, you know, most people – like, how can I word this? You know, for people that aren't in Jersey or on the East Coast, you know, East Coast is like a hotbed for professional wrestling. You're going to find some sort of indie show going on, whether – Chico Santana is headlining the church basement, or PWS is doing the Rahway Rec Center. You know, there's always something going on,
right?
And you know, Jersey All Pro, they had a firm grip on the Rahway Rec Center, and they were drawing a good 1,000 people a show. Now PWS is running out of the same place, drawing about the same amount of people. And they're pretty much, you know, working the same game. They're bringing in legends because their homegrown talent is great, but people that aren't familiar with them. So, you know, if you have a Bret Hart autograph signing, people are going to come in for that.
Yeah, and they have a pretty decent fan base. So
they have a pretty decent fan base, and it you know, it definitely doesn't hurt to have good homegrown guys. So they're doing things right. I don't know how it would work if PWS were to go outside of the East Coast, because they did Queens. They did pretty decent in Queens.
Yeah.
You know, how's it going to work if you go to Florida, or how's it going to work when you go to California? Yeah. You know, these are all different markets. They all respond to different things. PWS has like a, you know, quasi-serious side, but they also got like extremely gimmicky, and it works over here.
It's been a hot button topic too in sports. Recently, the National Hockey League wants to relocate to Vegas, but you know that market. A lot of sports markets.
Yeah, that's a bold move.
Right, it is a bold move, and it's the same concept in wrestling. Like, you know, they put hockey in South Florida and basketball in South Florida, and even though some of those teams win championships every couple of years, they don't draw. In South Florida, they built a brand new, ridiculously gorgeous baseball stadium, and then they can't draw a deck. You know, so it's
this is interesting because I would think more people would go to baseball games in Florida because it's
warm, it's
warm outside,
but it's touristy. Now again,
but most people don't really go to baseball games in general unless it's like a really big game, right?
Or you're a hardcore fan like me who goes all the time because
Metallica's like opening for
in San Francisco, it's an experience. Now it's the same thing with wrestling. There's territories too back in the day, and now these indie promotions, like, you know, ECWA has been, it's the longest running indie fed since the 60s.
Wow.
They host a Super 8 tournament every year that our buddy Damian Dragon won 2 years ago.
Didn't know that they were going that long and that strong.
60-something years, man. They're the longest running promotion in America, anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't go anywhere outside of Delaware, I don't think.
Yeah, and I think it's smart for a lot of these, local yokel groups, whether it's PWS or whatever, stick to, the area that they're good at. Because, again, you're not going to make big money. I know some of these groups, they want to tour, and it would be cool because they're, a lot of these organizations draw fans all over the place.
Right.
Which is great. It's good to get the word out. There's so much wrestling out there. Even if you're jaded as hell, you're going to find something somewhere that you like.
Yeah, and, wrestling fans, let's be honest, they're cheap.
They're cheap as shit. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, they're cheap. And, when you have an organization like PWS, you pay $20 for a fucking 4-hour show, when you get your money's worth. Even if it sucked, even if the talent sucked, and half the car was awful, and the building was 97 degrees when it's 98 degrees outside. Even you're still getting your money's worth for $25. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
but obviously it doesn't. They put on a good show, but I'm just I was playing devil's advocate.
And let's face it, even when wrestling fans are disappointed, they're still entertained and they're still wanting to be involved with the product. Like there's a big stupid discussion. About Vince, and he's losing it. I don't think he's losing it. I think the guy's well aware of what's going on. Even when shit isn't going well for Vince, the guy knows, wrestling fans are going to still tune in. My question to you and a lot of fans is, when do you think a company like WWE would cease to exist? It's just like one of those kind of, for me at least, it's just one of those kind of brands like, like Hershey's.
Right.
Hershey's is like one of those kind of companies that if you have from what I'm hearing, investing in stock is not a good thing. Like, especially if you don't know shit about stock. But if you invest in something like Hershey's, you can't go wrong because when people think about chocolate, they think about Hershey's. And I was listening to this one business podcast because I listen to stuff other than wrestling. Fucking Pennsylvania apparently, issued some sort of – literally, they issued a law that the people that own Hershey's are not allowed to ever sell their company to somebody else, which is insane.
Yeah, I if you follow Joel Gertner, who's a friend of the network – you follow him on Facebook and Twitter. Joel is a very active stock guy.
Yeah.
And I know my uncle up in Boston, he's a trade. That's how he makes some of his living. He day trades, so he's always in stocks and stuff. I know, and people were freaking out when the network dropped because, stock went from $12 down to $7 a share and people started flipping out, but nobody sold.
Well, that's the thing. Isn't it true that you're not going to feel the effects of it unless you sell?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not a stock person, so I don't know. But yeah. I know that people were panicking and all the marks on the internet were making, oh, look at this. They dropped the network and then they reviewed and everybody's like, oh.
Well, that's the thing. People love to freak out when they hear bad news, but they don't want to say, hey, let's just ride this out, see where it goes.
Yeah, let's ride it out. And now
same thing goes for Vince and his, decisions on television. I'm going to start changing my mind about how I view the WWE because, granted, there's a lot of stuff that we watch that we don't all agree with. Like, hey, you know, especially with Lesnar, you know, there's that's always been a hot topic. What the hell are they doing with this guy? And at the end of the day, I'm not really worried about if they're going to use him poorly or not. At the end of the day, if you get to the heart of the matter, it's kind of like, well, I want to see how this is going to turn out.
Right.
And what are you going to do next? I'm going to watch, you know, as much as all these people are complaining and all that, they're still tuning in. They're still watching. So then, you know, my way of thinking is, hey, whether you say you like it or you don't, you're still tuning in, and that's what Vince wants you to do. And you're bitching and moaning about it. You're talking about it.
I get crap for this all the time, but I get crap for this all the time, and you know I get crap for this because I'm the guy who looks at wrestling with the glass always half full. Because because I'm a lifelong fan, A, and B, and I say this almost every week now lately, I just want to be told a good story. You know, I agree. I don't care if Brock Lesnar shows up 3 times a year. My cousin Richie is beside himself because my cousin Richie is a fan of the show as well. He listens all the time. He puts it on the Facebook page. Oh, he's a part-timer. You know, he's blah, blah, blah. He's going back to UFC. You know, we shouldn't have, part-timers. And I'm like, you know what? Embrace it. Because you know what? Here's something that they can run with. And we talked about running with it on the last podcast with the Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude. That was an 8-month feud. Stuff can happen in 8 months. You know, John Cena is going to film a movie, or he's got nagging issues, injuries. They're pushing Roman Reigns. They're pushing Ambrose. They're looking for the next guy. It's like they're in a transition. And listen,
they're doing it. It's a great thing. You know, they have, like we talked about it many times, like they have great matches on these pay-per-views. You know, the pay-per-views don't have to be perfect. You know, look at this. Oh, my God. These fucking ads on my goddamn computer.
But we talk about it all the time.
Yeah, all right. Now that the fucking party poker bullshit, I downloaded this new fucking browser that's supposed to.
I know you guys can gamble online in Jersey, but this is ridiculous, dude.
This is crazy. But anyway, a lot of the stuff that we review isn't fucking good. It's there was like classic shit on there that precedes, you know, how average the pay per views were.
Right.
You know, there's stuff of legend on the stuff that we talk about, but the pay-per-views weren't by any means perfect. And, you know, same deal today. People are going to look back and they're going to be like, wow, those Wyatt family versus the Shield 6-man tags were out of control. They were insanely good. And they're not going to know or care what pay-per-views that they were on. They're just going to think about those matches or the TLC matches. You know, not all those pay-per-views were perfect, but you're going to go back and watch those matches and be, like, in awe of what these guys were doing. Especially now that WWE's scaling back on, like, guys doing some crazy bullshit to kill themselves.
And they have a crop of guys that are just biting at the bit to come up now.
This is my, plea to hardcore wrestling fans of the IWC, you know, let the storylines be, you know, what's Vince, how is Vince going to handle all this?
He's pushing 70 years old. Do you really, I get it, his work ethic is legendary.
Yeah.
He's a micromanager guy. I get it. I understand. I've been a fan since I'm 9 years old. I'm not stupid. But in the same breath, Triple H has gotten a lot of heat for the way he's been handling certain things.
But these guys aren't, you know, just like us. If we ever ran a wrestling promotion, it's not always going to be perfect. We're going to make some mistakes and people are going to be on our ass. Same thing with these guys. They're not always going to do what's best for business. But Dave,
look what he's done in the last couple of years. I mean, he got Brock Lesnar back. He brought Paul Heyman back.
Bruno Sammartino. That's
more importantly, he brought these guys back that were staples in the organization.
That said that they would never come back.
Right, and he got them to come back And they all these guys, he got Sting? He got Sting.
Sting.
Yeah. Oh, man, you know what? Oh, damn it.
Sting.
Like he gets all these guys. And then he goes and signs fucking Steen and Mystico's gone.
Prince Devitt.
Devitt and Kenta. And who's the other Mexican guy they got? Jesus, I forget already. Kalisto. They got Kalisto. But he's done some good things. If I'm wrong, Nixon,
and he's pushing a lot of those guys too, you know.
Yeah.
And Triple H was always known as the guy who wasn't letting anybody get over. But he's put a lot of guys over, and he's, you know, really nurturing the youth of professional wrestling. And granted, you know, hey, a lot of these guys may not have the mentality to be top guys. But, you know, just from my experience going to a lot of, you know, Chikara shows and Ring of Honor and stuff like that, these guys learn quick. And there's a reason why that they're in the WWE as quickly as they've gotten in. And granted, a lot of guys aren't, you know, they're still developing their characters and stuff.
Yeah, Nixon's saying it's Kevin Dunn that's in the ear of Vince. That could be true, too. Samurai Del Sol. Thank you, Nixon.
Samurai Del Sol,
who's now, Kalisto. Now,
yeah.
But my thing, but he's done, it's like, how can I compare it? Like, I work in EMS, and I work in one of the biggest systems in the country. And EMS is a kind of system that they're not a proactive field, they're a reactive field. In other words, something really bad has to happen in order for some positive stuff to come out of it in terms of protocol and rules and stuff like that and better personnel and whatnot. Wrestling has that same concept. They're not very proactive. They're reactive. They respond to the fans. They respond to merch sales. They respond to the internet. They respond to social media now. It's not...
And the fans are reactionary, too, you know?
Right,
We're not all the smartest guys, even including myself, you know?
Right, no, we're not experts, but we have... And we just... It's all opinion-based. We don't really know a lot of stuff that goes on.
And even guys that are in the industry, you know, I've had a little experience. But even when you listen to guys who've been in there for years, sometimes they don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Right, right. So it's like I think the internet wrestling community is kind of spoiled because they have these outlets. They have social media. They have YouTube.
They have everything
Facebook, Twitter,
at the touch of a fingertip.
Right.
You know,
and the fact that
I'm able to download and watch like G1 tournament, you know, at a moment's notice. Like I can, you know, after the show's over with, I can buy it on IVP or I can watch it on YouTube and be like, whoa, I'm watching Japanese wrestling. When before it was like we just read it in a magazine.
Right.
But, you know, my plea to the IWC, you know, take a step back and appreciate what we have. And don't worry about Kevin Dunn because you don't know Kevin Dunn. You don't know what Kevin Dunn's doing.
Yeah.
We don't know what Vince is doing.
Yeah.
And if most of us were to even be put into that situation, most of us would quit because it's not a glamorous job. Granted, it's wrestling. It's cool when we watch it on TV, but it's a totally different animal when you're behind
the
scenes.
The industry's mad shady, Dave. You know that.
Yeah, that's why, you know, even I question why I do film sometimes. You know, it's... It's like, you know, I love doing some of this stuff, but sometimes when you interact with some of these people, it's kind of like, well, this guy's absolutely retarded and he has no idea what the hell he's doing.
Yeah.
And when you get into a position of power, it's like, oh, shit, what the hell am I doing, you know?
Yeah. And it's
so, you know, just food for thought.
Yeah. We're not poo-pooing on stuff. We're just trying to make everybody aware that I think people put too much emphasis on – you know, crapping on stuff and just what Dave was trying to say, and I've been saying it for months. Just embrace, you know,
enjoy the fact that we have all these cool things now.
Yeah, take the chicken shit and make chicken salad out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what was it? Like the Louis C.K. thing on Conan with like everything's amazing. Like it's
not every
on the fucking plane that they had Wi-Fi, and then like two minutes later, like the Wi-Fi's down, and like everybody's bitching and moaning. And it's like, hey,
and dude,
you know that there's gonna be Wi-Fi on the plane.
Yeah, you know that there's half these kids that are in the audience. They have this ADHD mentality where anything past 9 minutes is this is awesome,
Well, I don't mind that, you know.
No, but here's the thing. I know the match isn't good. It's not awesome because of the longevity. I've seen 20-minute matches that were drizzling shits when I was a kid or when I was a teenager or I was in a young adult. I just went to a Ring of Honor show. None of the matches were bad. But every match that was past 10 minutes was, this is awesome. And I'm like, why is it awesome? Because these guys are doing more high spots and they're going out of their way to get their point across. Yeah, and they are.
Yeah, they're going to have a five-year career or something. But
right, well, that's the thing, cool. too. So, all right, well, I think we got our point across.
Yeah, so Facebook questions,
right. Sugar Shane wants to know, to you guys, who fits the should've, would've, could've big-time push scenario? To me, it's prime time Brian Lee. You want to go first?
You can go first.
I have a bunch of guys, but when he said Brian Lee, it made me think of Chris Candido. I thought Chris Candido was worth more than what he was. I thought that he would have had a wonderful singles career, not him being sick, with Sonny or without Sonny, either way. I mean, there's so many guys, Dave, that could have, should have, would have. I mean, there's a fucking laundry list. Can you give me one guy that, you know?
You know, Chris Candido's is one guy. Did some insane shit. One of his finishing moves was a powerbomb off the top rope.
That was amazing. And that was when I thought of Brian Lee, I thought of Chris Candido because they were in ECW around the same time.
Yeah, you know, you can even say Ziggler, but you know, Ziggler still got time. I'm trying to think. Paul Orndorff
My favorite. I mean, Paul could have, should have, would have.
Perfect.
Yeah, Kurt Hennig, Rick Rude.
But there's a lot of guys. But you know, at the same time, you know, the business, you know, when they were around, was just not suited for there to be multiple, you know, top guys.
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, that was their place. And they did, you know, great on their own. You know, granted, Rick Rude wasn't a world champion in WWF, but he had a good run in WCW as a world heavyweight champion. Granted, it was the international title or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he still got to beat guys like Ric Flair and have some awesome matches. And granted, you know, we all wish, like, it could have been on a bigger, longer kind of scale, but there's just so many guys. There's so many guys right now, and it's, you know, we're always going to have that discussion of the coulda, shoulda, wouldas.
Yeah, because it's a laundry list, but it's a good question nonetheless. So thank you, Sugar Shane.
Yeah.
Our buddy Baza wants to know, do you think that the standard of women's wrestling has improved over the year within the WWE?
Yeah, I think so. You know, well, they got Sarah Del Rey, who's the head trainer over there, and she was a big wheel at the Cracker Factory over in Chikara and Ring of Honor. And
the Queen of Wrestling, yeah.
Queen of Wrestling, Jersey All-Pro, Shimmer.
Yep.
You know, she, and even Glow. She was a Glow girl for a wee bit when it was brought back in the 2000s for like a show or two.
Right.
But, you know, it has improved. You know, I think mainly on NXT, on the big shows, it's still kind of like a, you know, like a car wreck a bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But you could tell that, you know, there's more. The women's division isn't a passing thing now. You know, granted, and I think at the same time, like, you can't have these broads going all out because they're known for their beauty. You know, they're divas, and you know, if you have a chick with a black eye, she's not hot.
See,
got a chick with a broken arm, it's like, you know, she can't wrestle for a long time.
See, I disagree. I disagree. I think that if you tell a good story, these chicks can take a beating in the ring and get beat up and bruised up, and they won't be posing for calendars anytime soon. But I mean, you can always.
Yeah, you're right to a degree. You know, there's like Gail Kim and a lot of the TNA knockouts who've had great matches on there. They have
absolutely.
Matches. They had cage matches.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, WWE is a different, you know, animal, you know. And I'm sure the broads, they should just call it the broads division. That's what I would call it. But
the broads division.
But, you know, as I was saying, these broads, you know, they're also wrestling a different schedule than a TNA knockout. You know, they're on the road too. You know, they're not half-assing it. They're doing the same shit that the guys are doing, but you know, on a more scaled back level, obviously. So, you know, if I'm working for WWE, last thing I want is for my broads to be, you know, washed up and used up and all that.
Yeah. All right. Tank's got three questions. He's pushing his luck with three questions.
Jesus Christ.
Besides Ivory, who else from GLOW could have been a superstar in WWE, NWA, or the Indies? I thought Nanochka was good. I thought
She could have totally been a crossover. Mount Fuji,
Americana, Hollywood and Vine. You could have pushed them as a tag team.
Ashley Cartier.
There's a bunch. I mean, listen, a lot
of them could have made the
because half of them couldn't wrestle anyway, so it doesn't matter.
And not only that, but you know. Stuff like GLOW was more in line with what's going on now. There's more attractive women in GLOW. You know, we'll get to GLOW soon because that's what tonight's show is all about.
And I'm not going to do a fuck, marry, kill. Let's take too long. He wants to know, finally, with past, current divas, knockouts, wrestlicious chicks, who could GLOW be revived today? It doesn't have to be. I mean, they have Shimmer, like Dave mentioned. They have Wrestlicious. They have... they have a bunch of women's leagues now.
Yeah.
I don't know if GLOW – I think it's – GLOW is a bit hokey. For its time, it was amazing for its time.
Yeah.
And if you were a preteen like myself, it was like you know, God's gift. But, you know, now
– you know, it would maybe, but it would have to be totally different.
Yeah,
look at things now. You know, the Total Divas is on E. You know, stuff like that. You know, has more appeal.
You could do like a GLOW reality show. Like, you could totally do something like Total Divas.
And GLOW did something like that in the past, but I think what the hell is it called? I don't remember what the.
No, I remember.
It was like, you know, the GLOW girls behind the scenes or whatever. But I don't know if I don't recall if that was hokey or not. But
I didn't see.
But
it.
You know, it was back in the '80s, so it probably was not up to today's standards. So, but if they did do kind of like a reality thing, like what was it? And we definitely got to do this one day. The documentary Gaia Girls from Japan. Like, something like that would be really intriguing to see.
I watched that for the first time the same week I got the GLOW documentary, and it was eye-opening, to say the least.
Yeah, well, women's wrestling and wrestling in general is so much different
over there
than it is here.
Way different. Gary, thank you for checking in with us, Gary. Gary wants to know, on the Lanny Poffo shoot, he claims that Randy Savage proposed a 2-year feud with Shawn Michaels as he saw great potential with them working together and ending with Macho Man losing at Mania, then retiring. It didn't go down like that, obviously. Do you think it would have worked well? Would you have liked to see it or even worked with more than one of the guys at that time? Bret Hart, Undertaker, Luger, Razor Ramon, missed opportunity?
Well, the thing was that was scheduled for WrestleMania 10, so what would you rather have, Macho Man versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 10 or the ladder match?
Well,
that's a tough call.
Right, but you didn't think – well, nobody thought that the ladder match was going to steal the show, obviously. Sure those guys planned on taking it to the limit.
Yeah.
But Randy Savage was good in any spot, so I could see it. I don't know if they were going in that direction because Randy was on his way out anyway. Like, that was his last hurrah. I mean, at that point,
we all know, and especially if you watched, you know, WWF at that time, you know, Randy was itching to get back in the ring, just period. The guy was not over with. Obviously, he had the great Falls Count Anywhere match with Crush at WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, he hung him. That was pretty fun.
That was insane, and I remember when that happened. And I'm sure we'll do an episode on it down the road. But I remember, you know, I didn't have cable at the time, so I heard everything through my friends who did have cable, and they were like, you know, Crush, you know, made Macho Man bite off his tongue, and I'm like, he bit off his tongue? Like, what the hell? Like,
right.
The buildup was insane. The match totally paid off well. I don't know how it would have been if it was Michaels against Savage.
But Michaels was up and coming. Savage was getting a little old in the tooth, and he was on his way out anyway.
And it was a young boys game.
You'd have to build that up, and I of course I would have saw it, but then like you mentioned, we never would have gotten a ladder match. So
yeah, we wouldn't have had a ladder match. But you know, there were some Savage Shawn Michaels altercations when Savage was the world heavyweight champion when he beat Flair, and that's on the Macho Man DVD set that was put out not too long ago.
New one's coming out, by the way.
There is a new one coming out. I can't wait for that. Can't wait for that deluxe edition with the Macho Man bandana and the sunglasses and all that.
It's going to be fresh to death.
And I hope there's a Blu-ray edition, because I know that they're planning on putting the previous box set, you know, together with it. And I hope there's like a big Blu-ray.
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty pissed, because around the time that comes out, the original Batman series is coming out on Blu-ray with the big box set.
I pre-ordered that against all financial reason.
Now, did you have to pay the full price of that when you pre-ordered it?
Whatever price that they had on Amazon for
it's like $1.50. Yeah,
yeah, it's expensive, but it, dude.
Yeah, I can't afford
Batman.
I'll have it. That's not the issue.
Let me put it this way: I have the bootlegs, and the show has aged well. It's still funny as shit.
Yeah,
it's like one of those kind of shows when, like, there's a lot of stuff that I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch Gilligan's Island. Well, maybe I do, but I'm not going to have fun watching it. I'm going to be like, what the fuck am I watching?
No, but Batman's special, dude. That's like a special kind of funny.
It's really special. It's so tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's just like one of those shows when you watch it now, it's like, oh my God. Like, I don't want to say it's sarcastic, but it's so well-written. It's just timeless.
Funny, because Tank sent me the link when it came out on Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I was at work, and he sends me the link, and, like, I had it open in my browser at work 7 hours prior to him sending me the link. But he knew I was going to get it. Like, he knew I wanted to see it, so.
Yeah, and, like, it's coming at a perfect time. You know, there's the Kevin Smith Batman 66 meets Green Hornet comic book series.
That looks good, by the way. I just saw the previews for that during.
Yeah,
the comic book
I bought some of them, I bought all of them, all three issues so far.
I didn't see them yet, but I saw them.
They're well written not because of Kevin Smith, but because Kevin Smith had the foresight to bring on a friend of his who's a huge Batman Adam West fan, and I have some of the Batman 66 issues that DC did before this run.
Yeah, I didn't see those. And, I saw them. I didn't get them yet.
They're decent, but this one is like it's. I don't want to say it's written exactly like the TV show, but it's written so close. To quote the fucking WWF action figure things, it's so close to being in the ring, like it's like the real thing, or however that thing goes.
Nixon wants to know if we're gonna be watching Gotham. Absolutely, when it comes on TV, I'll be
watching.
That's
the thing with like it's like Smallville.
Yeah, I'm gonna be watching that. I already have the pilot of The Flash. It comes out in October, but I already have the pilot. I didn't see it yet. It's a great copy, and I have to watch Arrow. I'll have to catch up on Arrow. I haven't seen that. But
I'm not a big comic book guy anymore, but if it has Batman in it, I'll watch that.
Yeah, no, we're
when I was a kid, Batman, like, it's just one of those characters who everything about that character I love, whether it's, you know, it's a self-made man thing.
Yeah. No, it's a great concept, and I'm excited for it. So
something that inspires me to this day.
Let's answer two more questions. We'll take a break, and then we'll get to our throwback. All right. Ajax Jackson wants to know, Aaron, our buddy Aaron, Phil or Dave, do you think that if Cena would turn heel, he would form his own faction?
That's hard to call, because, you know, Cena's always just been by himself, so.
Right, I don't know, but I don't.
I think rationally, he would just be on his own.
Yeah, and more importantly, who's going to join the faction? I mean, it's slim pickings at that point for top guys.
And, so. You know, Cena's was just one of those kind of guys. It's like this, you know. When Bobby Brown came back with New Edition, you know, does Bobby Brown really need to be with New Edition? Because Bobby Brown's his own name.
Yeah, but Bobby Brown also couldn't even stay on stage with them. He blew up, and don't even get me started with that.
Let's do it like this, you know, Justin Timberlake, does he really need to get back with NSYNC?
No. Great point.
Yeah,
great point.
John Cena doesn't really need a group to get behind. If Cena went heel, in an ideal world, I'm sure Cena wants to go heel too, you know.
Eventually, yeah.
And you know what? I even want to ask Ricky Steamboat when we're with him. I don't know if he's going to be on the show or if he's just going to be focused on doing autographs or whatever. But for Legends of the Ring, I know the guy was very strict with just being a face.
But would he have wanted to go heel?
I want to ask him.
Yeah, of course.
Is if you had the chance to turn heel and, you know, it wouldn't tarnish your image, would you go for it and how would you approach it?
Yeah. And
that's what I want to ask him.
Dude,
you know?
I just
dumbass questions we'll be asking him, but I want to ask the smart question, and that's like, hey, let's put aside the whole, you know, you're strict about being a face. Say you said yes. How would you approach it? How would you turn heel?
Yeah, and I'm sure he'd write it off magnificently.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best to make sure that he doesn't write it off. But if he does, it is what it is. But I'm going to ask him anyway.
Yeah, maybe he'll answer. You don't ever know. All right. Yeah. Lastly, and not leastly, Shining Woods.
Ask him why he did the Warrior tribute. He was such a random guy that kind of popped up on that Warrior Week tribute.
Oh, maybe they were cool. And you know what I'm saying? You don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll find out from the man himself.
Shining Wizards Tony wants to know, since we're all belt marks, how cool was the Glow Crown?
And like I said, it wasn't a fucking belt. It was a crown.
That's right. It was a crown.
Well, I'll say this. It's unique because, you know, like in Japan, like they had belts, but they would have like giant trophies that they would be surrounded with, which they don't really do anymore, which is a shame.
That was the best part of watching that.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? What are these trophies all about? Well, you know, somebody, you know, that's something I'm going to have to get down to the bottom of. You know, what's the significance of these trophies? What do they mean? But a crown is something different. You know, It's especially for women. You know, it works for women. You know, if they have a sash or something like that. You know, if I had a wrestling organization, I would do something like that. Like, instead of a belt, it's a sash. Like a mayor sash. Some shit like that.
You know? Like a mayor sash. Like you're the fucking, you're the grand marshal of
the fair or whatever.
Of the silly parade.
Exactly.
All right.
Something like that. You know, and I know some wrestling federations, they've, even ROH, you know, I think for a while they tried doing a trophy for the pure champion as opposed to a belt, but I don't know. Wrestling fans, they like belts, and but for Glow, you know, I felt it worked out because Glow was just kind of like, granted, it was a wrestling organization, but it was like a comedy show.
Yeah, and it was.
They weren't playing by the same rules as the WWF was playing. You know, even though WWF was doing Tuesday Night Titans and all this other kind of nonsense.
No, it was
not the same.
It was a different audience, and we'll talk about that when we get back from our break. So let's let's plug a bunch of our friends, take a quick break, wet the whistle, and come back with a kick-ass throwback, which tonight will be Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on Rant EM Radio, and we'll be right friggin' back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up? It's Mike from the Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My 5 Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Vinyl Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audioboo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
There are many ways you can support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Go to iTunes, search the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media. Leave a review. While you're there, check out all the other fine programming we have. We're on Stitcher. We're on Buzzsprout. We're on Geek Life Radio every Saturday evening. What are you waiting for? Check us out. You want to email us, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at TBuckleTbacks. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Join the group that we have as well. And we have T-shirts, kids, T-shirts. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We have three designs, the original logo, the NES cartridge parody logo, and the British-inspired World of Sport Shining Wizards Network Turnbuckle Throwbacks T-shirt. It's the Rant. It's the Shining Wizards Network. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's entertainment here.
Hey everyone, this is Justin Anderson, one of your hosts from the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, where each week we break down the news in the world of geek culture, entertainment, professional wrestling, sports, and music. We also give our spin on the typical top 10 lists and fan cast our own movies. That's the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, or download from inconclusivebreakdown.libsyn.com.
In trying to make an artistic statement, one should be careful not to let one's personal aroma do the talking. In order not to offend the critics, I recommend RightGuard Sport Stick. It provides maximum protection and the freshest scents, a sublime palette of odoriferous emanations. After all, a true artiste should be remembered for his inspiration, not his perspiration. RightGuard Sport Stick. Anything less would be uncivilized.
Hey, hey. Thelonious Punk here, and I'm interrupting an otherwise quality podcast to let you know about our little show, NXT Cast. It's the only international podcast devoted to the future of the WWE, NXT. I'm joined each week by Chris NXN Nixon and the Austrian cyborg Bernard Binder to go over the latest NXT rumours and news, as well as an in-depth analysis of the latest episodes and the current roster. So if you're looking for a wrestling podcast that covers arguably the best in-ring product that WWE is producing today, then find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic and NXTcast.net, the international podcast devoted to the yellow and black, NXT Cast.
G'day folks, AJ here. When you've finished listening to this fucking podcast, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher and check out myself, Lee and Punch on the fucking Bloke Show.
We talk about a whole variety of topics like comics, cartoons, movies, television, and sports.
And we're often joined by guests like Deck from Ireland and other friends from all over this wonderful planet.
Once a month, we jump into the DeLorean and take a look at the history of professional wrestling.
And once a month, we look back at actual history with Twit, This Week in Time.
And once a month, we talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
So please follow us on Twitter at TBSPOD.
And talk to us in the Facebook group, The Bloke Show.
Now, I don't give a fuck what you cunts do. Just listen to this fucking thing.
Atomic Thieves, Podcasting Network.
In the ring, we're gonna have fun and do our own thing. Dane. I'm David McClane. Watch my glow girls rise to fame. Women and children, stop and listen. You'll be afraid of what you're missing. Watch my glow girls pass the test and prove they are the very best. I make the matches, I call the action. If I'd wrestle them, I'd be in traction. But all my glow girls, I must thank, because they're money in my bank.
Hey. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
We're back.
We're back. And that was the glow rap. Well, they opened every show with the rap. Dave
they always had raps. Everybody had a rap.
Yeah, the crew had a rap. And this was a special rap because the guy who runs the thing was rapping.
David McClane and Sly Stallone's mom, Jackie Stallone.
Jackie Stallone, yes.
Owned a globe.
You know what I want to ask you, and I forgot to ask you yesterday when we were talking on Facebook. Do you think, because they filmed all this stuff at the Riviera, do you think that it was the same kind of deal as Impact when they have it at the Universal? Like, I guess people, just random people in the casino can get to go see the match, so you had to pay, you think?
I want to say that I knew the answer to this. I think they had to have had people paying to get in. You know, this is not like a amusement park, you know, studio where they need like a full audience for the set of Cheers or Golden Girls or whatever the fuck.
Right. But like, cause you know, like the, when you watch these episodes, like especially the first two or three seasons of Glow, like you had the regulars in the front row.
Yeah. The college guys.
Right. But the rest of them, like random creepy dudes. So with that being,
I don't know. Yeah, a show like Glow is supposed to have creepy dudes.
We should try to get. I tried to get Little Egypt to come on the show. Hopefully, she'll come on eventually. But if we get her,
the wizard, she better get her ass on our show.
Nah, you know how it goes. But if we get any of those Glow chicks on, we have to ask them. So let's get into our throwback of the week here.
Yeah.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
That's right. Scandal Akbar should have been in Glow as a manager.
I think, what was it? It was...
They had Palestinia, remember her? Palestina, whatever. They're very racist. Very.
Well, that's how it was in the 80s. You know, things could fly a bit more. You know, patriotism was at a all-time high.
You are not lying. This was 1986. The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. The pilot was actually filmed in December of 85, and it continued in bunch of forms, and it left after it left on TV, like Dave mentioned before we went to break. Of course, they had all these crazy characters, beautiful women, over-the-top sketches, but that were very integrated into the series and its success.
With adult humor.
Yeah, most of the performers were actresses, obviously. Models, dancers, stunt women, hoping to get into show business through wrestling because they couldn't
wrestle.
Which
is funny. You know, it's all like in-depth in the Glow documentary, which I highly recommend.
Yeah.
And... like you said, it was a bunch of actresses, dancers, and stuff like that. Just you know, waiting to catch a break.
Right.
And they found out, like, okay, they would actually be trained as wrestlers. And they were trained by Mondo Guerrero.
Mondo Guerrero, right. The show went for four seasons, 86 to 1990, from the Riviera Hotel on the Las Vegas Strip. Seasons 3 and 4 were, in fact, filmed at a former warehouse building. Approximately 3 miles east of the Riviera Hotel, which is now currently a Harley Davidson outlet.
Ha.
Thank you for
so
that.
So if you want to relive Glow and test drive a Harley, there you go.
Dave mentioned Mondo Guerrero. During the casting for the pilot, not all the women were taking it seriously, so Mondo Guerrero put a woman in a submission hold and made her cry. They casted 12 women for the show and trained them for 6 weeks prior to the shoot. They wrestled.
Which 6 weeks wasn't enough, because if you watch some of these matches, like, it's like, what the hell's going on here?
Right, exactly. They wrestled approximately 8 matches per show, which eventually was sold. Some of the women moved to Vegas to continue working with the promotion. Each season consisted of 26 episodes that were each rerun once to complete the year, with a total of 104 episodes produced. Steve Blantz was the senior referee in season 2 before becoming Glow's quote-unquote commissioner in seasons 3 and 4. He was also always the recipient of a Glow Girl beatdown in season 2, if you guys watched it. If you guys followed the show like I did when I was a kid. Johnny
did house shows, too.
He did. Johnny Caffarella, also known as Johnny C, he hosted the 3rd and 4th season. He was a figurehead owner, buying Dave McLean's interest in the storyline. And also served as a company manager after the departure of McLean in 87. Dave mentioned Jackie Stallone was the figurehead owner and manager of the Good Girls, and Kitty, who was the big girl, Kitty Burke, she was the manager of the Bad Girls.
Yeah. But Jackie Stallone wasn't, if I remember correctly, she wasn't on television too much. Like, I think it was mainly, the pre-recorded stuff. I know she did a rap.
Right. Well, each of the Glow Girls had their own rap song.
And so did Jackie Stallone.
Right. It was shown on videotape, obviously, prior to both all their matches. Similar to other wrestling promotions, the use of the wrestler-specific entrance themes, the gimmick. It was probably influenced by, at the time, the Chicago Bears won a Super Bowl, the Super Bowl Shuffle. I'm showing my age now. Dave mentioned the Glow documentary that was done in 2011, directed by Brett Whitcomb. And written by Bradford Thomason, and features the music of the people who did the Glow Girl stuff. It was also premiered at the Hot Docs International Documentary Film Festival. It got great reviews in New York, L.A., a bunch of stuff. It won an award at Comic-Con in San Diego for Audience Choice Best Documentary for the Sidewalk Festival. Dave McLean, Dave mentioned him before, was also behind the scenes in three subsequent other wrestling promotions: Powerful Women of Wrestling, Ladies Sports Club, Women of Wrestling, WOW, which I actually saw one of their cards in here in New York.
Yeah, they used to have the show on Fox.
Right. Johnny Caffarella promoted a similar show in 2003 called The Crush. Along with Steve Blantz, The Crush concept was revived in 2008 for Tank mentioned Wrestlelicious. The Glow name is currently owned by Ursula Hayden, who portrayed Babe, the Farmer's Daughter, during seasons 3 and 4. That's why you won't see Glow on a DVD box set anytime soon, because she...
Well, they had a deal with Big Vision, and they put out, like, best ofs.
Yeah, but...
And if you go to the Glow website, which is just, gorgeousladiesofwrestling.com, they do have individual shows for sale, but they're, like, super expensive. They're, like, $25 a DVD.
Yeah.
And for all you gross weirdos out there, if you want to wrestle Babe the Farmer's Daughter, you can send a serious inquiry to their email address, and they can set something up for you.
Gross.
Yeah.
Glow is still in existence, not associated in any way with David McLean. He was revived by the Riviera Hotel and originally filmed in 2001 as son of the director Matt Kimber and Tony Kimber.
That's where Sarah Del Rey was.
Yes. Tony Kimber is the youngest child of the 1960s American sex symbol James Mansfield, and the half brother of actress Mariska Hargitay. And they starred on a show called The Nature Boy, which was led around the ring on a leash by a female wrestler named Jungle Woman. In 2012, Glow returned to Vegas for a show that reunited the former Glow Girls Roxy Astor, Hollywood. Which is one of my favorites, personally, Babe the Farmer's Daughter, Gremlina, Lightning, Thunderbolt, Melody Trouble, Vixen, Ashley Cartier, Godiva, she was hot, Daisy, and Corporal Kelly. Corporal Kelly came in the later seasons. The show also featured new Glow Girls, including, like Dave mentioned, Sarah Deathray. They called it Sarah Del Rey, eventually. She was originally Sarah Deathray. Okay. Now I have the roster and their real names, so in case we want to reference anything, I have that. So,
but the big one was the big star that came out of it was Ivory.
Yeah, Tina Marie, Ivory, And really no one else from that camp got as big as she did.
Yeah, nobody else really kind of like, well, this is my guess. You know, a lot of these girls, they went through what they went through. And I don't know. It sounded like a shady business. Plus, a lot of these girls, while they were doing the tapings, like, you know, when you work in film, whether it's wrestling or not, it's long days. And these girls, like, they were constantly filming. And they would have like long ass days, and they weren't really allowed to leave. They would have a residency at the hotel, at the Riviera Hotel, so they didn't really leave the premises, according to the documentary. So I'm sure once these girls were done, they were done.
And again, I can't stress to you enough how awesome the documentary is. I got it off the, what channel was it called? There's some weird channel.
Encore?
No, not Encore. It's actually a gay and lesbian.
Oh my god!
No, it's a channel dedicated to
to the gays.
Yeah, yeah. It was. Oh, I forgot.
What kind of world is this?
No. Not like that. It didn't show anything risque. It was like all programming dedicated to the lifestyle, the pride lifestyle. That's where I got the. That's what it initially showed the documentary before Netflix put it up.
All anal action and glow.
No, it's not like that. But yeah, my wife and I watched it last year, and we were just like my wife was in tears.
Yeah, with Mountain Fiji.
I mean, just the interaction of the girls with the reunion.
They were a tight-knit group.
Yeah, they were. Like Dave mentioned, they had to stay together to film it. A lot of girls relocated. But they became a family, you know, and a dysfunctional family, obviously. But for the time, you know, it was so hokey, but the skits were great, and I was 12 years old, so of course here comes puberty, and I was...
And I was younger than you.
Yeah, dude, I was a mess, bro. I Saturday mornings couldn't come quick enough at that point. But all joking aside, I think it was, we didn't see it as hokey as kids. We saw it as more wrestling.
Yeah, I took it as real. Like,
right.
Unlike you, like, I was significantly younger. I wasn't at puberty. Puberty was not even like on my horizon. I was watching this show, and I'm like, I like this, and I like it because there's women.
Yeah,
like I'm not jerking off at this age because I'm too young to jerk off.
Right.
But I knew that there was something there, and I had to watch this show with the door closed.
Right. Here's the thing. Anybody who sit there and tell me now that when they watched it back then they thought it was stupid, you're full of shit. Because it was so hokey but so different that you waited for the skits, you waited for the rap. The matches were horrible, right? The matches were horrible. If you got one logo, that was it. Thanks, Nixon.
Yeah, there you go.
If you got one good match out of every season, maybe two, you were lucky, okay? These girls knew they weren't that good.
But it wasn't about that. It was about the storylines, and we're going to get into some of the storylines, but it was just about the whole the package. And, you know, looking at it now, it's like it's still refreshing because there were – first of all, there's like easy-to-follow storylines. Two, now that I'm watching it now – and I'm sure we'll get into it a bit more, but there were some inside jokes in there. Like there was, you know, David McClane would be in his office, which was
a phone booth,
counting the money from the show,
getting a call from Vince.
You know, wink, wink, Vince McMahon.
Right.
And, like one of the videos that I sent you. He's getting a call from Vince, and he's like, "Oh, you know what's wrong, Vince?" And he's like, "My top star is getting old." And he's like, "Oh, you know why is that?" And he's like, "He's balding." And it's like obviously a Hulk Hogan,
right?
You know, pot shot, and it's kind of like you know, if you watched it back then, it would go right over your head. But
right.
Watching it now, it's like
it's awesome.
It's awesome. It's like there's new stuff that you can discover watching these old clips.
And when you went to school. the girls were finally into wrestling. It was like, oh, I saw Glow yesterday. And all the girls in my junior high school class were like, oh, Glow, did you see Glow yesterday? And you're like, yeah.
And there weren't a lot of ugly women on Glow. You know, when you watched WWF's women's wrestling, it was like the horror hour, the creep show.
Yeah, nobody.
But when you watch Glow, it's like, I got to keep watching this, and I got to make sure that door is closed while I'm watching it.
Yeah. You know what? And again, it's like people talk about it like, oh, it was terrible. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
The wrestling was so insignificant that I got to be honest with you, this is probably one of the most well-produced, quote-unquote, wrestling shows ever for its time.
And typically when wrestling was done out of a fucking casino like AWA, it's kind of
some
like,
of those matches
know,
were good, though.
No, they had fantastic stuff in
the Riviera.
Was it at the Riviera?
Yeah, of course it was. Oh, it was
that's
the
where show. They had AWA.
They
oh
had the Riviera. They had the Showboat. There was a
No, it was the Showboat for AWA. But when you see the crowd, like you know, for like you know, for instance, one of my favorite AWA matches of all time is Kurt Hennig going against Nick Bockwinkel in that hour draw, and also the Midnight Rockers in that blood fest with Playboy Buddy Rose
and Doug Summers. Buddy Rose and Doug Summers. You're right.
Yeah,
with Sherry Martel. But now,
when you look at the crowd, it's like there aren't that many people here. You know, when you watch WWF for these jobber matches, it's like a packed arena of like 20,000 plus. But when you're watching AWA, and it's kind of like, you know, why is there like 10 people here? But for Glow, it was completely different. It was kind of like, you could tell it was like shitty production values, but just the quality of what was going on made up for it.
Not to get off track, but the Hennig Bockwinkel, was that after he won the title or before
Before.
Before, right? Okay.
Because
I remember the match. I just don't remember if it was before or after the title.
Yeah, the one where he actually won the title, there must have been like 15 people, and it was in the Cow Palace.
Right. Okay. You're right. Yeah.
Or the Wrestle – I don't know if it was Wrestle Rock or what.
Super Clash or some shit like that.
Yeah, Super Clash.
Right.
Super Clash 1, I think it was.
We should do one of those, actually. We might – maybe we'll do –
I think we should just do the hour-long match for its own show.
Yeah, maybe we should. We'll look into that. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so painstakingly, someone had posted the first season of Glow, and I was cherry-picking stuff, and then for some reason it magically disappeared.
Yeah, I sent you a message. I'm like, where the hell did all this stuff go?
Right, exactly. So
it's like, there's nothing. There's only best ofs, and it's like these really
right
well-made, like half-hour like clips, you know, music videos. And I'm like, I can't base a show off of some guy's like half-hour-long music video.
Exactly.
But we just decided to just do individual matches and work it from there.
All right, so let's get into one of yours, I guess. Which one you want to do? There's a few of them. We're not gonna critique them. We're just gonna run them by.
No, like my notes. I'm looking at some of my notes, and it's like like two word sentences. But
well, you have two matches that were. I mean, this is pretty significant in terms of injury, but
yeah,
in the same breath.
Well, I'll get into the injury, which is funny. Well, let's just get right into it, you know, and it will even cover the revenge match,
right.
Which it's not going to take a long covering these matches because
right, so
very to the point. But,
so the face team was Susie Spirit and Debbie Debutante versus
the cheerleaders.
The cheerleaders from Philadelphia and what was the other? They were both from like rah-rah states.
Yeah, they're both from like some like really like Americana,
right.
You know, high like college.
Right.
Kind of town, and they're going against Mina and Mika,
Mika,
the headhunters.
The headhunters, which is like the Glow version of the SST.
Yeah, or the Samoan Savages or Wild Samoans or whatever.
Now, mind you, though, these chicks were actresses or aspiring actresses. Some of them were gymnasts, as you could tell. Americana and Debbie Debutante had cheerleading and
they're doing cartwheels.
Cartwheels and shit. That was their whole bag.
It was just a performance. It's like
right.
when the headhunters get to the ring, You know, David McLean is the ring announcer, and you know he's like the headhunters want everybody to be quiet because they have a special ceremony to perform before the match, and you know they're doing like this choreographed dance.
Yeah, and they're going up to the camera doing close ups, and they're doing that.
And they're speaking in gibberish,
right? Which they don't speak Samoan, obviously.
Yeah,
and Dave McLean refers to them as cannibals at one point
because they're ready to eat the competition.
They're ready to eat the competition, right? So, here's
but they have. Sorry to cut you off, but like before the match, or like just before the match starting, they're having these. Pre-recorded interviews with the women, and you know the headhunters, they're just going into their gibberish, you know, savage talk. But Susie Spirit
was very scared, very worried about this match
because she's never, you know, her and Debbie Debutante have never faced opponents like this before, and you know, foreshadowing that you know something crazy might happen during the match,
right.
Which does because, well, first of all, like they're just tussling.
Yeah, it was creepy that she said that and something legit happened to her.
Actually, something legit did not happen to her.
It looks legit.
Yeah, I'll throw it down because it's something that wasn't on the documentary. It's actually on one of the greatest hits DVDs that was put out. Like, they had this match, like, you know, there's no wrestling happening. They're just throwing each other around. Susie Spirit, Debutante, they're doing cartwheels. Like, all this, like, bullshit is happening in the ring. There's no wrestling. And finally, like, just even a point where Mina's doing this weird Boston Crab. It's like, it looks like the Boston Crab, but it's not.
Almost like a messed up Walls of Jericho.
Yeah, it's like it's like her leaning on her legs, you know.
Right, right, yeah.
Pulling her back in a Boston Crab position.
Right.
But you know, through the chaos that's happening during this match of them trying to wrestle, there's a point where Susie Spirit does a sunset flip. And the way that they play it off is that Mina drops down her left leg on Susie Spirit's right arm, pulling the arm out of the socket, and it looks like the arm is out of the socket. It's like 9/11 happening all over again, like the newscast, like playing the fucking plane crash a million times because they would not stop playing.
Yeah,
the arm being popped out of the socket.
Put it this way, Dave sent me the clip. It's a 9-minute clip.
The match is only like a minute.
No, the match is about 3 minutes long, and the replays of this injury was almost 6 minutes long.
Yeah, it was out of control, and David McLean is a genius because he's playing the clip over and over again.
Yeah,
and he's explaining that the savages, the headhunters, they're cannibals, they're reckless, totally getting the point across. But what the fans didn't know was it was this match because I think they pulled something like this again with like a clothesline or something. But Susie Spirit, you know, she was able to pop her joints out, you know, at will.
Yeah, she's one of them double jointed gymnasts.
Yeah, like this is just like you know, like when somebody's able to do some weird shit with their fingers or something like that, and it's like, oh, this looks so gross.
And yeah, and you knew it was, and you, again, it looked gruesome, right? And she sold it to the point where, as a medical professional, I've seen a dislodged elbow, and first of all, she wouldn't be able to lift that thing at all. So
no.
She actually is leaving the ring, holding it up as it still popped out of place, and David McLean did a, like Dave mentioned, did a fantastic job of selling it. And this was really, again, when you're a kid, you know, you're 12 or you're 6 or whatever, you're like, wow, that was crazy.
And not just that, but when they're playing the same clip over and over again, and it looks gross because you can legit see the bone
right.
Just hanging out.
It's the same thing as Savage and Steamboat with the bell. You know, they played it a million times. Superstars.
9/11.
Yeah, it was 9/11. It was Wrestling Challenge, Wrestling Superstars, same concept. So
yeah.
So now, of course, this leads to Susie.
The revenge match.
Yeah, Susie gets injured now, goes backstage, pops her elbow back in place, goes gets a tab, you know, nice cold tab.
Yeah.
And then she...
I can't give you... I can't put something on tab if you ain't buying something, kid.
That's right. Exactly. So, so they go and have the revenge match now with Susie Spirit and Mika.
With Mana.
With Mana, I'm sorry.
I guess she's the head headhunter.
Yeah, because it wasn't the one of the girls, and I was like, oh.
It wasn't the girl who did it, which was strange. But right. I guess probably, like if it's the head headhunter, it's all right.
Yeah, and so, of course.
They have this match, and just a bunch of bullshit happening, of course. Lots of gymnastics into splashes that look like there's no effect. But,
yeah,
you know,
no Mana's, disqualification.
No disqualification, too, because it's a revenge match.
It's a revenge match.
But, you know, the girls are smart enough. Mana's, you know, working the arm. David McLean, I think it was like some like fake British accent. No. That's the other match. But he's putting over the fact that she's working the arm. Granted, there's no skill in this match whatsoever. But they're hitting all the right points. You know, it's a revenge match for the broken arm. Susie Spirit's, you know, doing her best. Mana's working the arm, all this other kind of shit. And finally, Susie Spirit hits the crossbody onto Mana for the victory. Everybody goes home happy. And it didn't matter that, you know, this match was like one of the most god-awful things ever, but everything that you wanted to happen happened, and you got a rap out of it or something.
Yeah. So... again, it was very well done. I thought it was funny as hell. I enjoy watching this clip. And it was just, for me, again, just reliving my youth. And I was like, it was so hokey, but back then so good. And like, you know, it's still, and see, like.
You could forgive, you know, all the wrongs,
the crappy
for
rest,
all
yeah.
the rights that they were doing.
It's like it tells a story, which, again, lacks so much in today's sports entertainment. It's like it's disgusting. So then,
it's like the only redeeming part of it is like, you know, you're going to get a great match out of it. But, we all wish that there was a better story. But I'm learning, like, wrestling is not the way it was, you know, when Globe was around. It's not even the way it was, like, a year ago.
Right,
things have changed so much, and it's like
it's going to evolve. Yeah, it's going to evolve quicker than it did back in the day.
Yeah, there's different expectations. You know, I feel like being an old school fan now. You know, granted, all this the stuff that we talk about, it works. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, use this stuff because it's intriguing. You know, storytelling is never going to go out of style. But at the same time, you know, fans, some fans don't give a shit for storytelling, which is, I think, why, you know, things are, you know, getting out of hand. But, you know, we as wrestling fans, you know that there's at least something that resembles a story. You know, it may not all make sense. A lot of stuff that we watched growing up doesn't make any sense. But we know we're going to get a great match out of it. And I think at the very least, we should just enjoy that and enjoy the fact that, like, hey, there's young talent coming up who gets it. You know, they know how to wrestle. They know how to – well, they don't know how to tell a story in the ring, and they definitely don't know how to tell a story outside of the ring. But we're having great matches. So let's roll – let's appreciate that first.
Exactly. So Dave then goes – on the other side of Spectre for his second match and sends me the lumberjack match with the two biggest women in the company, Mount Fiji and Matilda the Hun. Matilda the Hun and Mount Fiji were pretty much the quote-unquote captains of their respected their respected camps.
Yeah.
They were always the rah-rah, you know, go get those girls and let's kill them and do... I mean, they were always the coaches, you know? And again, the lumberjacks, everybody had a great character, so you put all these lumberjacks, it's similar to like an 80s lumberjack match.
Yeah.
Because all the characters are larger than life. You know,
they're all in the ring apron too, which was interesting.
Right. So it was cool, you know, fun. I mean, nothing.
It was just as biased as a regular 80s lumberjack match.
Yeah, it was. Again, it was well done.
Yeah. It was like, again, no skill whatsoever, but you know, it just told like this story of like. No, back when you were a kid, it was like, I want to see the two fattest and the two biggest wrestlers go at it. You know, that's why like Hogan Andre was so popular, or Andre Big John Studd. And, you know, this is not different than any of that. Mountain Fuji and Matilda the Hun were some of the biggest women, you know, in GLOW, you know,
right. Besides
Big Bad Mama. Who was on Married with Children. We got to talk about the Married with Children thing, but we'll cap that off at the end. But it's like, I want to see the two biggest women because, you know, the mentality was, especially back then, was like, you know, the bigger, better, badder, just like WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, and, you know, it didn't really, at this point, you know, it like Dave said, it tells a story. It was intriguing. The girls all at ringside. Everybody.
It was simple.
Yeah, it was simply done. It was a good, you know, it was good for the time. I mean, nothing really stands out to me.
So Mount Fuji gets her up in a fireman's carry, throws Matilda over the top rope. They start brawling on the outside, and there's a double count out, which sucks because it's a lumberjack match. You know, that's not how it goes. You're supposed to throw them back in the ring, but it gets so chaotic. That one of the girls, Corporal Kelly, pulls out a gun. Granted, you know, it's a prop gun. It's shooting blanks. But I thought it was, especially nowadays, it was insane that they had a character pull out a gun and shoot it in the middle of the ring. And she's demanding a battle royal.
Right.
And the referee, John Oates, is like trying to grab the gun away from her, you know. Granted, you know, there was the Austin Pillman thing. But that was like, that wasn't in the arena. You know, say somebody were to do something like that now, that would not fly whatsoever. It wouldn't even matter if it was the Attitude Era or, you know, the PG Era. That shit would not fly.
Right. So.
But that was so fucking cool. Like,
it was cool, yeah.
It's absolute chaos. Somebody brings a gun in the ring, and they're not bringing it in the ring to kill somebody. They're bringing in the ring to demand a battle royal. Come on.
It's like they're taking over. They're taking the episode hostage.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Again, yeah. So
like, I won't leave the ring until I get a world title match. You know, right. I wish stuff like that would happen. Like,
they're not just grabbing chairs and sitting in the middle of the ring. They're protesting. They're pulling out. They're gonna start pistol whipping people.
Yeah, bring out a gun or like a samurai sword or something like that, you know?
Right. So, I mean.
Like, hey, I'm going to slit the referee's throat, or I'm going to commit suicide or harakiri in the ring unless I get a world title match.
Right. So.
This belt would mean something.
Yeah. So, I took two matches. One of my favorite tag teams were Hollywood and Vine. I thought they were cool, I thought they were funny. Hollywood had a thing for what's his face? I forgot his name already. Dave McLean. And
yeah.
she would knock on his door, his hotel door every couple of episodes, and you know, with their manager, and ask for like a date. And there was one clip that Dave sent, and it was like, she wants to go to the carnival and see the horror show or something. He goes, what? I don't want to scare the exhibits. And they go crazy. But this happened every couple episodes. She had the hots for him, and he wouldn't take her out. But in essence, she was gorgeous. They fought Tina and Ashley. Tina Ferrari is AKA, her name is Lisa Moretti. You know her better as, obviously, Ivory. And she was the only chick that actually stayed in it and was successful.
And actually learned how to wrestle.
Yeah, so she learned how to wrestle, but this is and her gimmick, she would give love advice on her skits.
Yes,
you know, and which is pretty funny too, you know. But
which brought in the whole tongue-in-cheek humor. Like, they didn't... one of the things I felt was great about GLOW was they didn't hold back. Like, they didn't... They made fun of themselves. Like, David McLean made fun of, you know, like, a possibility that he was sleeping with the girls. And I heard stories about that. I don't know how true they are. I wouldn't be surprised. Right. But, you know, it was a joke that was a part of the show. And, you know, just how sleazy, you know, wrestling and the whole concept was. They didn't – there was, like, no holds barred. They made fun of themselves. There was no pretension about the product.
Right. And the other match I picked out when I caught it afterwards, but it was the rematch for the GLOW crown. And, you know, like Dave mentioned, there was no – these girls weren't that good in the ring, but you could tell the caliber – I mean, going back now as an adult watching it, like, you could tell, like, the better wrestlers were, like, Nanutschka and Americana, who fights in this particular match for the crown. You could tell, like, they were the ones that almost got it in that six week camp with Mondo. You know what I'm saying?
And they could have totally have made it to WWE.
Yeah, Nanutschka was in essence their Iron Sheik.
Yeah,
or their Nikolai Volkoff, and she played I think her name was Lori Palmer. She did a fantastic, fantastic job as Nanutschka. She cut her vignettes were her getting a call from one of her KGB people. And again, works. Yeah, getting like the tongue in cheek stuff, like you know, he would always get like a phrase mixed up, like "Where are you at a public execution at the beach?" What she told you? What they're gonna hang 10? You and like she would get so mad, you know. But this was every episode. Americana was their Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah,
I guess, and she was played by Cindy Moraine, and she was like their first, I guess, their poster girl.
Yeah,
she was their first champion, and she was the Nanutschka played it up because they had a match prior, which I sent Dave, and then I caught myself and I forgot to just do. You know, I had the other match anyway.
Yeah,
but I had the whole season at that point, and somebody took it down. But they wrestled to a double count out, and that led up to the match, but Nanutschka was like, "I'm the champion," and you'll announce, you know. And apparently, she wasn't. And then they held the crown up, and Americana was the champion. And it was intriguing because both girls staked the claim to the crown.
Yeah,
and it again wasn't a belt; it was a crown. It was genius. It was like a thing where, okay, you're looking for a belt, but it makes sense. You know, it's a crown.
Yeah,
and it was. Honestly, it was the better match out of the five or six that we were watching. I thought it was
And there was you know, there was actually some moves in that match. Nanutschka did like a reverse bear hug, which we would later see with Evad Sullivan, but she did it into a pile driver, which looked like it could have actually broken somebody's neck. There was more moves in these matches, and the rematch was pretty cool because there was no rematch. It was Nanutschka just working the leg and injuring the leg before the match even started, and
Americana fighting her way back to
Americana trying to fight her way back, and they had to cancel the match because she just couldn't rise to her feet and have the match. And it's just building this drama for, you know, the next match, which they announced was going to be Tina Ferrari for the GLOW crown.
For the GLOW crown,
She was like the number one contender.
Yeah, but Americana was there Hulk Hogan, was there Hacksaw Jim Duggan. She was the flag chick at the time. And we actually lost listeners in the chat room, and nobody likes GLOW but us tonight, apparently.
It's all good.
It's all good. It's all good. We love you all anyway. But
yeah, this was, you know, GLOW wasn't, you know, just this, you know, cheesy little wrestling show. You know, it's also part of pop culture, as, you know, it was a focus on Married with Children. They had the episode where Al, you know, and Piggy go to Las Vegas, And, you know, Al ends up trying to make back all this money that was lost and gets involved in a GLOW, you know, wrestling match because he sees, you know, Babe, the farmer's daughter, and some other chick, you know, wearing their, like, sexy clad, you know, wrestling gear. And he's like, hey, I can last 5 minutes in the ring with these chicks. But then ends up with Big Bad Mama and, you know, Married with Children. You know, even today, it's still like a huge show. And it lasted like almost like 10 seasons. So to be featured on a show like that meant, you know, you were something special. So, you know, GLOW, you know, may not be like a big deal, you know, nowadays, but it was a part of pop culture. People fondly remember it. And, yeah. You know, it's part of our wrestling background. It's what we watch. You know, I watched it, you know, I don't even know if I was 5 years old when I was watching this.
Every time somebody talks to me like that, like, you know, you get that friend or that relative, you still watch that wrestling stuff? I'm like, yeah, I do. You remember GLOW? Like, the GLOW always comes up in conversation.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, one of the first conversations I had with my wife when we first started dating was, so you watch wrestling? I'm like, yeah, I actually follow it religiously. I'm really into it. It's like a hobby. She goes, yeah, I watched wrestling, me and my sister did when I was a kid. You remember GLOW? And like every time you talk to someone, man, woman, it doesn't matter. They always remember GLOW. Shining Wizards Tony and I had an entire evening conversation about GLOW about a year or two ago.
Because, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but we were the same age, and it was, again, we were prepubescent savages at that point, you know, and it was like a thing where you had to see it, you know, even if you weren't going through puberty or you weren't a teenager. It was like it was something else involved with wrestling. Nobody was jaded. We didn't have the internet. There was no fucking dirt sheets. There was none of that stuff, you know. Yeah. You looked for everything. You turned to the UHF channels. You looked for Florida Championship. You looked for Jim Crockett. You looked for Texas World Class. And then when we got cable, same thing, AWA, World Class, and you had GLOW, and you had all these other promotions.
You had a plethora of wrestling to watch.
And you weren't jaded. And whether it was bad or good, you still appreciated it. And Dave and I really want you guys to go and we'll post the matches online. But if you have Netflix, the documentary is on there, or download it somewhere. It's actually a keeper.
I own it. Touching, especially the stuff with Mountain Fuji, and I don't remember if they even brought it up in the documentary. But I was reading this online, but sometime after GLOW, there was like some wedding that happened at her family's house. And the police ended up raiding it and, like, beating the shit out of people there, including her. And they ended up taking the police department to court, and they ended up winning $23 million in a lawsuit, you know, claiming that this was a racist action.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, these women have been through quite a bit, and their story is really touching. It's really gripping, and you know, we both highly recommend it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I own it, so yeah. I would buy it even just to have or digitally download it or something.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's, you know, it's like one of these few groups where, you know, these women really bonded together. You know, if you're not a wrestling fan, a women's wrestling fan or not, like, I think this will definitely pull you in, just because there was a lot of heart and soul in this. You know, it's a lot of naive people that went into something thinking like, oh, you know, I'm going to become super famous out of it. But I think they gained a lot more out of it because it was fun as hell. That's the best way I could put it. It was fun as hell.
Yeah, it was fun as hell. All right, so let's start pulling this train into the station and start wrapping it up. We did over 2 hours tonight, and I think we had a really kick-ass show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Sorry we weren't live the last couple of weeks. You know, real life still takes precedent, what we got going on. But
I'm paid to do this, so we got to work with what we can.
Yeah, real quick, before I start getting into my plugs, like Dave and I mentioned at the beginning, at the top of the show, September the 20th, we will be in Monroe, New Jersey with the Shining Wizards. We'll be hosting Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He'll be signing autographs. Check the ShiningWizardsNetwork.com for more info. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, ShiningWizards.com. Yeah, check that out. And then that night we'll be at in Rawway for Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Brodus Clay versus Homicide, Ricky Steamboat. Now just added yesterday, Rob Van Dam, who's done with WWE apparently after last night's house show in Canada. There's going to be a bunch of people there that night. There's a whole bunch. It's going to be like one of those huge shows again.
That's why PWS draws.
And they come correct. So, yeah, listen to the rant. We got the rant every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Us on every Wednesday at 9 p.m. You have Wrestling Call-In Show, Mr. Will I Am Morgan, every Saturday at 11 p.m. with Rage and Tony C. And you have, of course, you have Surfer and Jordan every Sunday with What Are You Reading? And I believe the Lex Experience is a podcast on every Friday. So do that. And of course, let's start playing some music here.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's start playing some. I got a nice kick ass song for you. Where the hell is my. Get the volume going over here. I don't want to fuck this up. But, yeah, man. So, I mean, support everybody. Support the Shining Wizards Network, Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Apex Radio, Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible, Pro Wrestling 101. You have the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, Dave Destruction. It's a kick-ass network. All those guys. Geeks of the Industry, Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, Bloke Show, NXT Cast, all that good shit. Support them all. Dave, anything before we go?
Hey, man. You know, it was a great show, and just like Zeus, we kick some ass.
We always kick ass. We'll be back again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. With another kick-ass throwback. And
we're getting some guests soon too in studio.
Yeah, we'll announce that when we clarify that. Beyond Wrestling this weekend up in New England. If you're around, go check that out. A boy, Chris Dickinson, and those cats. And that's pretty much it. So on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, bidding you adieu. Avoid the clap, don't get arrested, and be kind to animals. Say goodnight, Dave.
Good night.